If you would open your Bible to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5. 1 Timothy, chapter 5. Practical teaching as we work our way through this portion of 1 Timothy is 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus have been set by some as pastoral epistles, as we see common link of some of the themes as Paul, by the Spirit of God, writes to these brothers in the faith, encouraging them along. And as we find and glean much truth for us today in the body of Christ and in the assembly. And so as we come into chapter 5, the first couple of verses, we read verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. And so we find this comparison, as it were, older brothers and younger brothers, verse 1, older sisters and younger in verse 2. And the following we see transitioning into widows beginning at verse 3. So in verse 1 and 2, to start with, we see that exhortation, rebuke not an elder. So as opposed to later in the text, in verse 17, you'll see elders in the sense of oversight. Here we see a contrast more so in age of older and younger. But nonetheless, we see to not rebuke. You may have it in the margin of your Bible, not to sharply rebuke an elder. And yet we see in the context, we're reminded that we're to treat him as a father. And so therefore, we think of respect and honor to an older brother. And so let's look at an example. Go with me to Job, if you would. Job chapter 32, and we are familiar, probably most of us, with the storyline of Job, and as the Lord is working through this man's experiences, and those three friends that speak to him time and again, and yet then there's yet a fourth. There's this one in 32, and we pick up in verse 4, Elihu. It's interesting that the others had been addressed, but to my recall, not this one. He waits. Notice in verse 4. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled, and so on. And so we see here this one willing to speak forth. But I wanted to bring our attention to the fact that he had a sense of pause. He waited for the elder ones, even those you see not necessarily agreeing with all that was said. And so we consider these things. Good to have respect and honor. In all things show thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So I address those that spoke of the men, the aged men and the younger men, and how they should interact as it were. So back with a finger there. We'll be back in a moment. 1 Timothy 5, as we see there in verse 1, as we're thinking about the elder men and those to be treated as a father, and the younger men as brethren. I'm sure you addressed this in your last study back in chapter 4, verse 12. In conjunction with the younger, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So as the younger brothers, we encourage to basically don't give a reason for ones to look down. Learn and grow and be willing to gather wisdom from the older and the elder, as it were. And as they see your faithfulness, we see how, and it's a beautiful thing to see in assembly where you have a variety of ages. We have older, you have middle age, you have younger, you have children. And as you interact together, you grow together, and we can learn from each other. The younger can actually teach or remind the older saints of things maybe that they haven't experienced lately. Like, oh, you know, I remember what it was like to be a young man. And you know, it's good to kind of not just assume that they don't have anything to contribute. They do. And there's that common working together in the body of Christ. I've been exercised about praying for young men, the young saints recently. There's a few pockets around different gatherings. In our area, there's a brother that has a Tuesday night study with around 16, 17 young men coming together. So if you think to pray for that, that's just 10 minutes from my house. It started with, it's a friend of mine. We've been friends for 30 years. He and one of my sons were studying together. My son said, you know, Dad, we talk a lot. And, you know, if he prepares a message, he'll call me. We talk. But he says, you know, it'd be good to kind of study maybe with someone not my dad, you know, just get another perspective. And so that being said, eventually the Lord blossomed it out. Now there's a good group. So pray for these young brothers and others that are exercised about the things of the Lord. And so when we think of this, now let's think a few moments in verse 2 of our text, chapter 5, verse 2. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. So again, as we think of how we treat the older sisters as mothers, as we should endear them, we should show them honor and respect. And then the younger with all purity. And again, I think in terms of we have five boys and two girls, and one of the things we try to encourage the boys is how do you treat the younger sisters, the young women, you know, before you're married, how do you interact? There are certain biblical principles. We won't go through all of those necessarily in depth, but there are principles about how we should behave and be honoring to the Lord. And so one of them was pointing to this, treat the younger sisters with all purity. So that covers a lot of ground. You don't normally see that in the world. The way young men treat young women is very bad often. And so as a Christian, professing believer, young man, we should treat the young sisters as sisters and with all purity. Again, let's go to Titus before we move on and compare there again, Titus chapter 2. And there we can see the contrast with older and younger women. Verse 3, the age of women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so we see these things that we think domestically, we think of in the home and how important it is. And again, I know you'll be in this study in the weeks to come, but how valuable it is you compare this to what was said in 1 Timothy. A little bit more information here. But as we think of these things, we see the value of the older sisters training the younger sisters. Now, I'll just put this out. When you see the word in verse 4, that they may teach, my understanding, check it out in your concordance, that's a different word than what you find in 1 Timothy 2. I know that you've been through that. I believe I heard someone online, I think Bobby was in that text. There in 1 Timothy 2, when it says for the women not to teach, that's the word didactic. And you're thinking about you know, opening the word and such as in taking a lead and such as that. But here the word is to train, more of the hands-on. So I think it's kind of out of place when people pull this text here and try to justify women teachers and preachers. It's not really the text. It's not the Greek word. It's not the flow here. The flow is in the home. And so the older women, how valuable it is that they're able to show and train the younger women to what is a godly life and a godly home. Very valuable. And so we're to treat the older sisters as mothers, the younger sisters as sisters with all purity. So now let's go back to our text of 1 Timothy 5. We'll try to work our way through the flow here. There's several verses. But as we look at widows, beginning at verse 3, my wife and I are kind of in the situation that we're observing and seeing just in hands-on learning how to deal with these types of matters. My wife's mother has been a widow for like 25 or more years. My mother is dealing with Alzheimer's. I think some of you have been praying for her. Thankfully, my dad walks 5 miles at 5 o'clock in the morning, so he's in good health. But we've been kind of behind the scenes, you know, my dad and I and some others trying to prepare, you know, what if dad passes before her? That's going to really change things a lot, you know, making sure my mother is taken care of. With Jennifer's mom, we see that one of her older brothers, never married, lives on the property, a huge help. She has an older sister who's a nurse, big help. We don't live too far now that we've moved. My wife's interactive with her, checks on her a lot. So they're trying to be taking care of their mother. And so let's think of these things in the text. Verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, you may have the text grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety at home and requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, and trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the afflicted, if she hath diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having judgment, damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So there's much very clear practical teaching in this section. So we see widows being dealt with in these verses. And so verse 3, we notice the term to honor those that are widows indeed. And so we see this term widows indeed, and it's, we find description of ones. Notice there in verse 5, we think of it's a desolate, the term isolated. Sometimes that is the case in a widow situation. There's maybe need there if there's not family that can step in. It goes on here talking about ones that trust in God, continue in supplication and prayers night and day. Let's look at some examples here for a moment. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. So we think about widows indeed and those that are faithful in the things of the Lord. You know, in our latter years, man or woman, if we're homebound, maybe even bedridden, we can still have a great ministry for the Lord. In the sense that there's, many of you would have heard of the Pittsboro Christian Village. That's not too far from where, from our area. There's like seven or eight folks from our home assembly has moved over there in the last few years. And one of them, we remember her at when the saints do back at the home assembly on Wednesday when we have prayer meeting. We remember all of them, but we think of her that she's not able to get out of the bed, but she is so diligent in prayer. And she wants the Lord to come. She wants to be the Lord. But now you see going in from months to years, not able to get out, but fervent in prayer. Luke chapter 2, and we see there in verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple and served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in the instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. So we see fervent in prayer night and day. So we look also in Luke, just briefly, move along to chapter 18. Luke 18. And we find one of the parables. So when we think of Luke, we think of the gospel that emphasizes the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus. As each of the gospels, as we'll look at John later, we see the emphasis of his deity. And so Luke is where we find the largest amount of parables, earthly story with heavenly meaning, is just a brief synopsis. And so in 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And so here we think of principles as we look at this parable, and we think of being persistent in prayer, and we find the example here of this widow. And so with that, let's go back to our text of 1 Timothy 5. And we pick up there as well. We see a contrast down in verse 6. But may I note first, in verse 4, it makes a contrast here. But if any widow have children or grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety at home and requite their parents. And so later it addresses the assembly. And so if there's family, obviously that is the front line. And then we see the discussion about widows indeed, and how the assembly can step in if there's not those that are able or can. And so we think perhaps of Acts 6, there when it mentions the need for men to be appointed, that as you might think of the oversight, the elders need to be constantly in prayer and in the word, and we see the mention there of the need, the practical needs, and as we think of early reference of deacons. And we see the widows mentioned as one of the needs that need to be addressed. And so we see those that would perhaps take a lead, deacons, servants among the saints in that area of need. So having said that, in the text before us, we see there in verse 6, we see, a concern about verse verse 7 rather. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. And along the flow here, it will get into what happens if this is not addressed. What can happen? It talks about the younger ones and how that they should move forward in their spiritual life if they find themselves widowed young. The concern is that they could become idle. They could get on a wrong path. And so therefore, the Lord gives them total clarity to remarry if their husband be dead. And so there's that warning that they stay on the right path for the things of the Lord, and perhaps remarrying is the answer, is in a faithful sense of following the Lord, not getting on that path of idleness or being a busybody. So then we notice there in verse 9 and 10, and it gives an indication of those that the assembly can help. Those that, if there's not children able to take care of them, look at what things is part of the criteria. Those that are over 60, the wife of one man, well reported of good works, those that have brought up children, those that have lodged strangers, they've washed the saints' feet, they've relieved the afflicted, diligently followed every good work. So what a list. So we see ones that through their adult years, through their years as raising children and being a helpmeet to their husband and such, and they've been faithful, and yet now we see there a widow. Now, as we saw earlier, ones that are still continuing in prayers, faithfully. You know, I think this list reminds me of things that I've seen and heard, like with my mother-in-law, that she's enjoyed through the years bringing people into her home and doing things such as this. And so we see that these things are honoring to the Lord to do these things and yet to be considered a widow indeed. And so that's verse 11 and 13, as we read, that deals with, as I aforementioned, about the younger widows and how they need to be careful not to enter into the wrong path. And here again, you think of the older sisters, as we read about in the previous section, compared to Titus, how valuable it is that the older sisters step in and encourage and teach the younger sisters. And perhaps a younger widow might need that encouragement and prayer. You want to be in the Lord's will. You don't want to just marry to marry's sake. You want to be in the Lord's will. But you don't want to go down that wrong path either. And so, with these things, we come to the end of the text in verse 15, addresses the solemn situation that could happen, that they could turn after the wrong path, as it says, turning aside after Satan. But, verse 16, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let him relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may be relieve them that are widows indeed. So I'll just say perhaps we should pray one for another. I know some of us in this room are dealing with this situation, maybe even now. Some you have in the past had that circumstance, and you have experience, and you can be value to others. And then some of the younger ones, you've not come to that point yet, but most likely if the Lord be not come, you may face these situations. So may we honor those that are older than us, that have particularly, that follow the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do continue before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these practical admonitions. We pray for each family represented in this room. Fathers, surely this would bring back memories to some of us. Some of it may be a challenge to where we're at. Some of it may be things that we know may happen in the future. But yet, Father, we thank you for the widows that we've known that have been faithful. We pray for those that may be struggling. We pray for your guidance there. We just pray, thanking you how your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, we know through the Lord Jesus we have salvation, vast, full, and free. And yet also you give us things that we need on a day-to-day manner. Thank you, Father, for your word. In Christ's name, amen.